My DM thinks turn-based combat isn't just a game mechanic, but something we actually do. So obviously, in-game turn-based combat is the only way to do things. If we didn't, we'd be screaming over each other like wild animals. During a time-sensitive mission, the DM described a golem boarding a location that I wanted to enter. I split off from my party members, as my character often did, to breach the area. Don't worry, my party has a sending stone with my name on it. We knew the dungeon would begin to crumble when we took its treasure, so the party said they'd contact me when the process began. Insert a fight with a golem guarding a poison-filled stockpile I wanted to enter. The party messaged me before I was done and said the 10-minute timer had begun. Perfect. I have a scroll of Dimension Door, and this felt worth wasting it on. I was going to wait until the very last second. Well, the golem was described as getting weaker, and because its attacks rely on poison, to which I was immune, the fight wasn't going well for him. So he decided on his turn, he was gonna do nothing. I laughed and began describing my turn because doing nothing means he's turn skipping. The DM stopped me and began laughing as the golem described that as long as he doesn't move, they're both stuck there. As he doesn't plan on ending his turn. I asked what the canonical reason for me just sitting there and letting this happen is. The DM said combat is turn-based. You can escape outside of your turn. And said this was the true trap of the golem. Then just moved on. I was confused about what was going on as the DM described. Before I could contest, the temple falling apart. I rolled death saves, a nat 1 and a 7. I was just dead, because apparently this is like Pokemon. According to the DM, my Yuan Ti poisoner is a polite little gentleman, taking his kindly patience and waiting for the golem he planned on killing, then robbing to take his turn. Being openly told he doesn't plan on doing anything, and still just standing there and waiting. The next story is about a skeptic that demands that a fantasy game gets rid of every fantasy element. Or the craziest problem player I've ever encountered. The tale of Skeptic, who demanded a fantasy game to get rid of every fantasy element. First of all the players involved are on the spectrum, and we play in a room provided to us by an association entirely dedicated to autism. Bloody sweet, right? We can play in an environment where our needs will be met, right? Wrong. Basically, the association wanted to be inclusive at all costs, to welcome everybody. And this would ring some alarm bells to any reader who knows about the Popper Paradox. The rules were simple. 1. If someone wants to participate in an activity, they're in. No questions asked. No checking if they would actually be a good fit for the activity or the other people involved. 2. No matter how bad someone behaves, they can never, and I mean never, be actively forced to leave or reprimanded in any way, shape, or form. At most, if enough people complain to the board of directors of the association, and the board feels like it, they might take a vote to see if it's the case to do something. And in case of an affirmative decision, they could, when they'll feel like it, contact the problematic member, or their legal guardians, to politely ask if they're sure they want to continue taking part in the activity. Meaning that a member could have a particularly severe form of autism that made them snap at basically everything, even in a violent manner. Or be a downright asshole who genuinely enjoyed being disruptive, and ruining the activity for everybody else. Flash news, even neurodivergent people can be douchebags. And said everybody else should just accept them and make them feel welcome. Otherwise, we're excluding someone just for being different. And that takes us to Skeptic, a guy, maybe 20-ish years old, whose entire personality boiled down to bragging about how he didn't believe in magic or religion, and how smart and rational that made him. Basically, he got dumped on our group by the board of directors because his mother wanted him to socialize, and the normal games lab of the association was not complex and smart enough for him. Unfortunately for all parts involved, we were at the time playing an urban fantasy campaign. Heavily fantasy, I'd like to add. Every single player had some sort of arcane ability, due to both mechanics and setting. Here's the cast. Me, the GM, doing his best. Bastion, our long-distance fighter. Also a marksman, a hunter, an expert of gorilla, and a were-dire hyena. Bisanzio, our berserker, deals the pain and can stand just as much. Shy, silent guy slowly opening up. Shape-shifting, fire-bending vampire with a knack for building and using the big guns. Guild, our longest-running GM, who puts heavy effort in his RP, playing a skilled and elegant fencer. Skeptic, the problem player, playing basically himself. Oh, the pain. A thing to add, due to the setting, Bastion, Bisanzio, Shy, and Guild all came from different time periods. Bastion, Bisanzio, and Guild because they're historical characters summoned to the present. Shy because being a vampire, he's old as shit. Anyhow, we got introduced to Skeptic, and he immediately takes offense at Bastion wearing a crucifix and starts talking about how believing in God is irrational, and Bastion should wake up. Now both I, Bisanzio, Shy, and Guild are atheists, but insulting the faith of a guy you just met and who did nothing to provoke you except for existing is a big no-no, and the first red flag. However, his mother smiled and told us that a smart guy like his son had the right to voice his opinion. Although she did apologize, he didn't, if he sounded rude. He did. So, when she left, he started asking what we were playing, and we described to him the setting, the mechanics, and the characters. He immediately frowned, and told us that if we wanted him to play with us, we had to change the game and play something, you guessed it, realistic. I decided to put my foot down without being rude, because I didn't want to cause him a meltdown. Without raising my voice, I firmly explained to him that we didn't have any game with purely realistic elements, and that he couldn't just barge into other people's games and demand to both be allowed to play, and for everybody to play what he wanted. He didn't like this. Like, at all. He got out of our room and returned with his mother in tow, trying to pressure/force/guilt-trip us into giving in to his demands. Her main argument was that we couldn't force him to play a game he didn't like, and when we retorted that neither could he, she changed tactics, telling us that it wasn't fair that we wouldn't let him play with us. Guild pointed out that we were already playing when he arrived. He was completely unannounced, his first interaction with us was insulting one of us for being different, and even if none of that was the case, you can't just pop in a poker game and demand everybody to start playing blackjack because it's your favorite game. They left for a few minutes, and they returned, both smiling. At the time, I thought they were trying to save appearance, but I know now they were unable to hide their smug satisfaction at the plan they concocted. So yeah, Skeptic decided to play the game, and I, optimistic to the point of naivety, or rather downright idiocy, forwarded him the document with the setting rules and the campaign synopsis, so that he could enter next time. Next session comes, and he brags about having read none of what I sent, because he already knew what character he wanted to play, and he fully expected me to rebuild the setting and campaign to accommodate him. Second red flag. I told him that it was simply not going to happen, because that would have meant forcing everybody else to change their characters and us to restart the campaign to fit him and him alone. So Skeptic, I shit you not, opened his bag to take out the official document with his IQ test results. Really? Who the literal crap takes that everywhere they go, waiting for a chance to whip it out and brag about it? Also, it was above average, yes, but not by that much. He was like 118 or something. He started telling us how, being clearly the smartest and most rational person in the room, none of us showed him our IQ tests, because we have a personality other than being condescending smarties, so how could he know? He knew the right thing to do. Bastion muttered that Skeptic was completely free to go and be superior somewhere else, while Guild decided to be snarkier. Guild, say Skeptic, what do you think of the late Stephen Hawking? Skeptic, are you kidding? He was the smartest man ever. Guild, so you agree that he was always right, correct? Skeptic, of course. He was a genius, and didn't believe in made-up gods or anything. Guild gave a smile worthy of Willem Dafoe on crystal meth, and showed Skeptic the famous interview in which Hawking declared that people who boast about their IQs are losers. In poor taste, yes. Aggressive, undoubtedly. Undeserved? Oh hell to the no. Long story short, I saw Skeptic deflate while positively seething not with rage, but with pure, distilled, unadulterated hatred for all of us. If he got angry, he would have appeared irrational and unsmart in his mind. If he admitted to be wrong, he would have had to concede to the inferiors, aka us. If he tried to be right, he would have to contradict Stephen Hawking, aka admitting that being a genius doesn't mean that everybody has to agree with you. He knew that Guild outsmarted him, and he couldn't accept it, because his entire personality was always being the smartest man in the room. I managed to defuse the situation, and we tried helping him create a character. It was a glorious shitfest. For starters, he dumped literally all of his points into, of course, being smart and having scientific equipment, which really didn't fit the campaign at all. But since we just had to let him play, due to the aforementioned rules of the association, we allowed him to do it. Maybe seeing everybody else having fun would help him understand that he can enjoy make-believe, and that doesn't make him irrational or any less smart. He also created his characters as a guy who did not believe in magic whatsoever. I want to be honest, I decided to ignore the red flags, not only because we had no other choice, but also because honestly this character could work. since in this world, despite magic existing, it was just now becoming common knowledge. Up until a few in-game months before starting the campaign, something akin to the Masquerade was firmly in place. He might have been someone who just entered the supernatural world, and therefore started with the assumption that magic was not real. Heck, it could have been the tried-and-true trope of the scientist who insists on calling magic unconventional science that's yet to be explained or something. Of course, I was wrong. His entire character was soon revealed to be his plan all along, to play with us and use his character as an excuse to actively ruin our fun. The first incident occurred when Bastion's character decided to fire his musket, and Skeptic started laughing in his face. Skeptic, why do you use that weapon? Shouldn't you acquire something modern? Me, see Skeptic, due to how this world works, his musket is actually embedded with his fame and legend as an unbeatable hunter and marksman. Not only is it more precise and deadly than a real musket, it could potentially be more devastating than a heavy ordnance rail cannon. Skeptic, no it isn't. We then explained to him the gimmick of the character, being an ancient hero summoned from the abyss of history itself. And Skeptic, of course, decided that none of that was canon. This became his MO. Whenever anything clearly supernatural happened or was mentioned, he would grind the game to a halt to demand it to make sense to him, and then decide that since it was something he didn't believe in real life, it didn't actually happen. The worst instance was when we got slowed down so much, it took 3-4 hour sessions to complete an objective that I'd designed to be completed in less than one session. But wait, it got worse. Since everything magic was not real, Skeptic refused to help the party in any way, shape, or form, because the horde of flesh-eating, miasma-oozing skeletons they were facing, or the threat of the ancient Atlantis superweapon that was about to turn Hokkaido into a smoldering ember, were clearly not really there. After some time, I decided to spice things up a bit for the actual players, and asked them to come up with a personal goal to give the campaign more stakes. For the most part, it was nice, and the players actually came up with some creative ideas. Bastion's hunter wanted to literally die gloriously in a fight with the biggest, nastiest magical monster ever, killing the beast at the cost of his own life, because he felt that being a hunter was what defined him. Bastion himself revealed to me that his plan was for the hunter to eventually get out of that mindset due to the bonds formed with the party. Bisanzio wanted to become king of Italy, to make the country a better place. The game took place in the present, so Italy wasn't even a monarchy to begin with, but he liked the challenge. Shy truly opened up and wanted to help the other vampires of his particular kind to a better place, Exodus style. Guild went full revolution and decided that he would try to end modern legalized slavery, by force if necessary. And then there was Skeptic. His stated goal was to prove that magic doesn't exist. The cogs in my brain broke a little, as I asked how he planned to do that, when he was literally strolling around with 4 clearly supernatural beings, and the party witnessed in no particular order, and among other things, the city of Turin nearly being exploded by an elemental beast. Legit Egyptian deities. A demigoddess from Victorian literature trying to murder them. He shrugged and with a gotcha smile, like this was an incredibly convoluted multi-years plan, in which he played the entire world like chess pieces, said, "Oh, but that never actually happened. It's just that these guys are not smart enough to understand how reality works." He said that pointing at the players, not their characters. I was now pissed. Insulting my friend's intelligence for liking a thing he doesn't was the last straw. Me. No. Skeptic. What are you? Me. Interrupting him. The rulebook and their character sheets say that their characters were able to do those things. The dice rolls say that they managed to do those things. The setting we're all playing in says that those magical things they met were real. And finally, I, as the game master, say that it happened, and that your character is delusional for believing otherwise. I tried to be tolerant, and all our group paid the price because you took it as permission to ruin the game for everybody. I'll be blunt now. Your character will never reach his goal. In this game, magic is real, and any attempt to prove otherwise is like stating that the earth is flat. That was apparently a mistake. I saw him getting more aggravated with every word I spoke, but when I dared to put his character in the same category of anti-science conspiracy theorists, he exploded and ran away after trying to flip the table. Luckily for us, the table was of sturdy oak, and Skeptic had the physical prowess of a chihuahua. I needed some time to calm down, and we decided to pause the session to just have some mindless fun, watching videos on YouTube and whatnot. Unluckily for us, Skeptic was starting a positive shitstorm of slander, telling his mother how we singled him out, how we targeted him in every session, how we tried to force him to convert to Bastion's religion, and how we did all of that because we were envious of how obviously smarter he was than all of us combined. Of course, his mother reported this to the board of directors. And of course, said board, not wanting to look like they were excluding someone, sided with him without even giving us a chance to tell our version. I got contacted by said board, And after literally 3 weeks of messages, I managed to convince them to give us a chance to explain how it actually went down. When we did, the board admitted that our version was the most likely to be true, because they knew Bastion was not a bigot, Guild was insanely diplomatic, and Shy was very non-confrontational, while Skeptic was known for playing the victim card whenever he didn't get everybody to admit he was the best. That means the situation was solved and we were left alone, while they had a stern discussion with him about his behavior, right? Of course not. They downright stated that it didn't matter if he lied and if everything was entirely his fault. He perceived himself as the victim. Therefore, we needed to make amends and to compensate him by making our game more to his liking. People started protesting, but unknown to both my players and the board, a plan was forming in my mind. It was time to stop being nice to someone who was there with the specific purpose of ruining everything, and tried to make the rest of the association hate us the one time we defend ourselves. Not to brag, but I can be both incredibly creative, a first-grade thick bastard. I gave my slimy a smile, and asked for his exact and precise demands, to be sure to give him a session to his liking. Oh boy, he was glad to provide, thinking he had the upper hand. Some of the rules he submitted. A player who is unsatisfied with a session should be rewarded for enduring it, with objects of his choice. Of course, since he was unsatisfied with every session, he sent me an even longer list of things I had to provide for him. He deserved a solo session without the other characters, whose players nonetheless had to assist to see how smart people win the game. In said session, absolutely no supernatural element was allowed, even just implied or that could be mistaken for magic. The others are not important. What is important is that I followed them to a T to craft the session. His arrogance made him fail to realize that he didn't explicitly rule that I was supposed to give him anything he wanted during the session. He was probably convinced that he was so smart, while I was so dumb, that those rules he posted would have meant he was going to be the undisputed lord of the session. I also had a card up my sleeve to bring the hammer down further, if he needed, and told the party beforehand what to do when everything went inevitably south. Also, we received permission from his mother to record the session, to make sure he wouldn't pull his stunt again. His mother, sure that Skeptic was going to get everything he wanted, allowed it. Basically, said session started with him driving a high-tech van and his guest, to prove that magic is not real. He started growing frustrated when he noticed that no supernatural phenomenon was appearing for him to disprove. I pointed out that according to his own rules, nothing that could even be mistaken as magic could appear. Eventually, he found an alley with a vendor of clearly fake amulets and talismans, and went to harass him to feel superior. I handed him the victory on a silver platter, not even having him roll anything, and described how the vendor was humiliated and broken by his intellectual prowess. Once he returned to his van, he found it being broken into and robbed by some thugs. He started complaining and I smiled. Me, well, your van is clearly filled to the brim with insanely valuable, high-profile scientific equipment. Things that would sell very well on the black market. Is it not realistic that criminals would see the opportunity and seize it? He decided to confront the thugs. Just what I planned. As you might remember, he spent all his points into his scientific, non-combat-oriented equipment and in his intelligence. Meaning he was a scrawny, inexperienced man, facing half a dozen hardened thugs, all armed with knives, brass knuckles, and metal clubs, and whose leader was basically the unholy spawn of Terry Silver from The Karate Kid 3, in his prime, and Andrew Tate, armed with an axe and a machete. Skeptic started complaining that it wasn't fair that those opponents were so much stronger than he was. And I simply answered that according to his rules, there was nothing wrong, because it is not unrealistic for muggers to exist, or for people to be MMA experts, or for improvised weapons to be used by criminals. He desperately tried to outsmart the situation, but alas, you can't outsmart a 3600 Newton's punch to the front teeth. Skeptic turned to the other players and asked them to help. Bisanzio, you're in Detroit. You left us in Japan. How can we know what you're up to? Skeptic. I try to use my communicator to reach them. Bastion, I recall you actively refused to give us one of those, to punish us for being irrational, stating that we would have no idea how to use it. Even if you did, there's no realistic way for us to reach across half the planet in time to save you. I mean, we could ask any one of the NPCs to teleport us there, but that wouldn't be realistic, because teleportation is not real, right? Skeptic, trying to appeal not to logic but to human decency. Come on, this is a team game. We need to help each other. Guild. That's rich, coming from the guy who actively refused to help us every single time we were in danger. Skeptic. I didn't believe it was real. You must respect my ideas. Guild, and yet you never respected ours. But don't worry, you're not really in danger. My idea is that muggers don't exist. Therefore, your character is not being beaten to a bloody pulp. So, Skeptic's character got robbed of all his possessions. Not only the ones he demanded from me as compensation, but everything he had since he was created. All of his money and so on. He had to be hospitalized. It happens when you get savagely beaten up and lose two limbs to a machete. And when their quest giver got the news, he visited him in the hospital. He downright stated that he could no longer take part in the missions because his body was completely compromised. Skeptic demanded a way to be salvaged, but I gave my nastiest, most condescending smile. Me. Unfortunately, prosthetic limbs advanced enough for your situation don't exist in the real world. Therefore, your character having them would not be realistic. You will need to spend months just to be able to breathe without coughing blood, and more months to teach your remaining limbs how to function again. Even then, you'd still lack an arm and a leg. Skeptic. But Shy one time was nearly destroyed and he got better. Why can he and I can't? Me. Well, because what healed him so fast was his vampiric magic. And magic, of course, doesn't exist in this session, right? Then, to rub not even salt but high-concentration sulfuric acid in his wounds, I turned to the rest of the party and asked them if they were satisfied with the session. They, of course, not having been allowed to play, were not. So they, by Skeptic's own rules, received a nice amount of powerful magic items. We prepared them in advance to be as unrealistic and over-the-top as possible, just to piss Skeptic off. Petty? Yes. Do we all think he deserved it? You have no idea. We had the rules firmly stacked against us by the board of directors. It was clear that whenever he didn't get his way, we would be punished for not spreading our metaphorical butt cheeks, and due to him knowing that, it was impossible to reach him halfway through, because nothing short of us thanking him for ruining the game would have appeased him. And if he were to get that, it would simply confirm to him that he gets to do whatever he wants because he's oh so much better. He went off. About how we had the duty to appease him, about how they were a bunch of slur for people with Down syndrome for disagreeing with him, about how he had an IQ of 118, and therefore he could do as he pleased and we all had to obey him. I grinned more, precisely what I was hoping for. Once he stopped to breathe, I pulled a thingy from my bag, my aforementioned card up my sleeve. See, I too got tested for IQ, when I was young and my parents were still trying to understand what my condition was. I showed him a copy of the papers, with all the official marks and signs and whatnot. I pointed him to the number, a nice big fat 142. I genuinely saw his brain shattering like Bohemian crystal. He knew that if he tried to pretend that my document was false, anybody could accuse his IQ document of being false, taking away from him an important bragging element. On the other hand, admitting that the document was legit would have meant admitting his intelligence number wasn't the highest in the room. He positively shrieked that he was going to destroy us, that he was going to make an example out of us, that he was going to have us booted from the association, and that we made ourselves a dangerous and smart enemy. Guild. Yes, so smart that he confessed his entire plan in front of a camera. I could see Skeptic evaluating his chances of stealing the camera away, and understanding that, being on the other side of the room, he would have to go through Bastion and Guild, the two most physically fit members of the group. He ran away and his mother came into the room to demand that we destroy the record, because it was causing emotional turmoil to her son. When we pointed out that he was only angry that he couldn't lie and blame his own shortcomings on everyone else as usual, she tried to say that she was taking back her permissions to record her son, a thing with a negative amount of legal power. She resorted to begging us to give him another chance. After all, we had proven our point, and making him upset about a game was just cruel, right? I, as the DM, tried to be diplomatic. Me. Ma'am, can you be sure that he won't pull any other stunts like the ones he pulled every single session? Or that whenever we don't change the game to make him feel superior, he won't try to ruin our reputation? Can we record every session to make sure we have evidence of his lies if he tries that again? She couldn't answer that, and so Skeptic's time with the association came to an end. No big fight, no meltdown, no legal fallouts, nothing. So this was my very first horror story. I hope you enjoyed it, and that my group didn't seem too nasty. We're usually very amicable, but we were forced in a situation where someone was being actively disruptive and offensive, to punish us for liking fantasy, and rules were specifically made to stop us from getting help. That was the craziest problem player story I've ever heard. I don't know if that can be topped. Hats off to the party for dealing with the problem and overcoming it as a team. Sweet, sweet justice. Before we take our leave, don't forget to subscribe to our channel, All Things D&D. Stay tuned for more amazing Dungeons & Dragons content every Tuesday.